And as I mentioned before, usually the first service that we have of the year is kind of a family meeting for us. And so if you're a visitor, this is a little bit different from normal, but we like to take a look at kind of celebrating what God has done for Eastwood, how God is a part of what we're doing here, and kind of look at how we want to continue moving towards God. I see you guys laughing right there. But that's kind of sometimes, I feel like spiritually at Eastwood, that's really what the picture of it looks like. You know, I got the best job in the world. I get to see and meet with people who love Christ, and they really want to serve God. Now, they're in a world that is kind of rough, and at times, knowing what to do can be difficult, but just watching, even watching the struggle of people trying to find out, how do I live in this situation in a way that honors Christ and does what God wants me to do? You really have some wonderful people who are devoted to Christ here. And God honors that when we seek and we grow. And I feel like sometimes I walk in here, I just feel like, you know, the love of God is just exploding in this place. And that is good. Now, we always go back and remember what God has done. And sometimes I think, maybe I shouldn't tell this story again, but Sean reminded me that we had people who came up last year after this and said, I didn't know that happened. And so I'm going to take just a couple of minutes. I'm not going to go through maybe as long as I normally do, but I just want to remind everyone here that without God's physical intervention, we would not be here. And it's not just that God physically intervenes and he helps us along the way, and that's what he does, but it symbolizes what God spiritually does for us. And God has sustained us, and he has provided for us, and he has blessed us, and he has enriched us spiritually. But he has also done that physically. Now, a little bit later, and some of you will be gone, but those of you who are members, which is most of us, you'll be here. And Sean's going to let you see just a little bit of the numbers of how God has done that. But when I came here 5 years ago, we were really on the downslide in some ways, especially if you look at it financially. And we had some big, major problems with the building. And right after I took over, we were going to have to make some repairs to the roof because our insurance company had canceled for us because we'd let the building run down so much that we had so much duct tape on the floor that they deemed it as dangerous, and they were going to cancel our policy, or at least they were using that as an excuse to do it. And so Aaron, being a good administrator, did not feel like it was fair for us to switch insurance companies and then put a claim in for the roof for some storm damage that had happened before. So she put a claim in. And when they came out and they took the shingles off, our roof exploded in what's called spontaneous combustion, and actually caught fire. These are some of the woods. This is some of the wood from the roof that caught fire. It flamed up. And so we had much more extensive damage than we thought that we were going to have to do. Damage we could not afford to pay for. Not even come close to affording to pay for it. And so what happened is there was a man who was a former member here 30 years back, and he was the only one that deals with the kind of beams and type of ceiling that we have. And so we called him in, and the insurance company battled back and forth, and Alan Knowles has some smarts in there and called the city inspector in and put the insurance company in a place where they couldn't replace the storm damage without paying for all of it to be done because it wouldn't be up to code. And so all of a sudden now, insurance is going to pay for this roof, which it wasn't, and they had told us it wasn't. And so this guy gets up there to work, and the workers won't work because when they get up there, every time they lift something up, it catches on fire. And so he's up there with a leaf blower, a hose, and he's doing this work up there and ends up replacing the things that are gone. And he tells us that, you know, we were just one big gust of wind that lifted up one shingle to hit that, and this building was completely burned, and we had no idea that it was there. So that's the first thing that happened when I came here. As a matter of fact, we were $5,000 short, or $4,400 and something short of paying for it, and that same week that we talked about that, we got a check in the mail from somebody who said, you know, I used to support you when you taught Bible history, and so now that you moved to church, I'm going to give a gift. We never heard from the guy again, but he sent $5,000 in, so we had no money. It was all fixed. The next thing that happened is we realized that we really can't grow, and we can't do the things that we want to do with a building that is, you know, insurance is canceling on. And we'd been here so long, I didn't even see all the duct tape. How many of you remember that? And when I showed those pictures of the duct tape, you thought, wow, I didn't realize it was that bad. But it was bad. And so we had a huge deal as far as replacing the carpet and getting paint on the walls and getting the building, not to a real luxurious standard, but to a safe and secure standard. $118,000. None of which we had. We ended up trying to think, okay, what does God want us to do? The only thing we know God does not want us to do is to go into debt, so we're not going to do that. And many of you sitting in this room remember me getting up here and saying, okay, here's how much money that we need, and that's the bad news, and the good news is we've already got it all, because before we did one single thing of letting people know we had that money, God provided that for us. And so we were able to fix this building up and get back on our feet again. Since that time, we have looked and decided, you know, we're going to concentrate on people, not on things. And we're going to try to go where God leads us. We started off going to Uganda. And that year, we were something like $75,000 that we put into missions. And I think it was $84,000 of broken down surprise HVC units that happened at the same time. With the money that we had, there's no possible way that we could put $75,000 into Uganda and $84,000 into unexpected operating expenses. But you know what? We did it, and God provided for us, because we put what he wanted us to do first. And everything that's happened this year, we had a kitchen that, you know, how many of you come on Wednesday nights? We need that kitchen. We need that kitchen for the ministry and for the connections that we have, and God provided the money for that. And we fix those things up. And so God has done those type of things, but they're not really the big things. The big things is the things that God has done in our hearts. We started looking at putting our relationship with God and putting his word at the center of what we're doing. And we realized we needed to grow in that, because really when I listen to God and I hear him and I do what he says, I'm really submitting to God. And if I'm not listening to God, or if I do hear what he says but I don't do it, then I'm not really following Christ or submitting to God. I have to listen to his word. I have to take that in. So we realize that's got to be the centerpiece of everything we do. Every time we meet together one-on-one, we meet in small groups, we meet in Sunday schools, we are here. The scripture has got to be at the front, because we're here not to hear what Tom thinks or what I think or what Jonathan thinks or Arthur, even though Arthur's smarter than the rest of us. We're here to hear what God thinks. And we're not growing in Christ if we don't know what Christ says. And so that has been a more focal point of what we're doing. And what it's done is it's produced what God's word says it will do. It's produced love. It's produced joy. It's produced peace. And because of those things, our connections have grown stronger and stronger and stronger. And our light shines brighter and brighter and brighter. And what we want to do is we want to continue, like our sign says, to gather together in Christ-centered relationships so we can grow and help God through His Holy Spirit equip us to become the type of people who can go out into the world and show who God really is. And to shine that light so that a world that is empty and hurting and frustrated and lost and drifting is able to see and connect with Christ. And we see that happening all over the place. I see people who are coming and meeting with others who are feeling that calling. I had somebody who stopped me as we were leaving last Sunday. And they just said, and when I came up to them, they had tears in their eyes. And they said that really touched me. And the week before, they had stopped me and said something about that sermon, because it was kind of two parts on being a disciple maker. And then that afternoon, I got a text. And it simply said, I have come to realize that every place I go and everything I do, I have got to have my focus on showing Christ's love to everybody I'm around. That's spiritual growth. That's realizing why God has you on earth. That's taking God's hand and saying, all right, Lord, you are enough for me. I'm going to live my life and do what you want me to do. Take me where you want me to be. I'm going to let you handle all this other stuff, because I know as I walk with you, you're going to work out what happens. But I'm going to follow you first, not take care of myself, and then add you in where I can. There's a huge difference between that. And we have more and more people who are feeling that calling and pursuing it and stepping out when it's scary and making connections and bringing Christ up in those connections. That's scary sometimes, isn't it? We see it happening all around us. And what it does is it bonds us together because we are here for Him. We're not here so that we get to hear the song we want, or we're not here because we get to, you know, my kids get to go to this program, or we're not here because, you know, Lisa's a great cook on Wednesday night. We're here to honor and serve Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. And I think we need to thank God for that, and we need to stop. God is really at work among us. And I know I do not think about how I meet with people and how I minister people and what God wants me to do. I don't think about it the same way this year as I did last year, let alone 10 years ago. And I think we're growing in that, and that is the greatest thing for us to celebrate. Everything we do in 2017 is going to build on what we did in 2016, and that 2017 is here. And it really does rest upon everything we've done in the past, because Christian life is a process. It's not an event. It's not making a decision for Christ. It's actually following Christ. And then He grows us and He matures us and He makes us who He wants us to be. And we can only take one step at a time and grow one piece at a time. So we should continually, till the day we die, be closer to Christ and be more effective and more confident ministers of the ministry of reconciliation that He's given us, reconciling people to God. And so that's where we're at. So what are we looking for 2017? Well, first off, everything centers on God. I love this verse in 1 Chronicles 29:11. It says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. So everything starts with our awareness that God is really the king of the universe. He really is. Man, I remember times where when things happened in my life really reflected that I did not realize who the king of the universe was. Because I could very easily get in a place where I was scrambling, like God was up there going, oh man, I didn't know that was going to happen. Well, Bill, you're on your own. Hope you can figure this one out. You know, that's not how God really is. But if I'm going to be honest, I've lived my life like that some. And it's just because I couldn't see who he really was. All the glory, all the power, all the victory, all the majesty, it's all his. And in everything that happens in my life, he is going to exalt himself as that person. And if I am walking with him and bringing myself in line with him, my life will be evident who's in control in this world. God is. He's in control of my life. He can see me through whatever happens, and that is the beginning. And we respond by saying this: if you love us that much and you are that great, then we want to love you back. And our goal is to love you, to please you. I love 2 Corinthians 5:9. Our only goal is to please our God. Therefore, go and make disciples. Isn't it interesting how God matures us as we walk and work with him? He said, I got this great plan. I'm going to do this great, magnificent thing. You want to be with me? You want to follow me? Okay, come join me. You want to see what glory really is? Watch what I'm going to do miraculously in the lives of other people, and I'm going to let you be a part of it. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of what? Pure hearts. That's what this room should be. That's what I feel like this room is. The people that we're connected with, they're not perfect, but they're pursuing God because they love him, and they want to be righteous. They want love to grow in their life. They want to be at peace. They want to find God's peace, and they want to call out for God. And so we do it together, and we come together to do that. And these things are the reason that we have been brought to a place where we are calling Jonathan to join us as our new full-time youth pastor. Jonathan, if you'll come on up here. As a matter of fact, Jonathan's first day on the job is today. And so we're welcoming him. He came in and he said, I couldn't find the time punch. Well, you know, I told him, you're fixing to find out what flexibility with other people's schedule is really like in your schedule. But we are so grateful to have Jonathan, and I'm just going to say a couple of things about this, and then we're going to pray for him. I'm going to let him say a word, and then we're going to pray for him. And pray for this year in what God is doing. But I've known Jonathan really pretty intimately since I became youth pastor, which was 7 years ago, something like that, 7 years ago. That sounds like a long time, doesn't it? But the first thing that I knew when I got up there is that Jonathan had a desire and a calling for the position that God has finally prepared, equipped, and brought him to. And so it's not like, you know, we realize that, you know, I've got a pacemaker, I can't do everything I've done. God is saying, as a matter of fact, he gave me that to let me know, hey, you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. The church needs more. And so we were looking around and said, well, where could we go? You know, 7 years ago, those seeds planted were planted, and God was preparing him. 5 years ago, when I became pastor, one of the first meetings I had was with Jonathan. And he let me know that this was a desire of his heart. Now, a lot of things have happened, and God put that desire in his heart, but God also realized that, you know, he equips us to do the job. And sometimes we don't realize that takes a little work in our lives. And so Jonathan and I have met almost weekly for most of the time, sometimes semi-weekly, but we have met together for a long time, and I have watched God reveal to Jonathan, and I have watched him respond to God, and I have watched God really change and mature his heart over a pretty good span of time and make him into just a wonderful, he was always a wonderful person, you guys know him, but to make him into a very godly man. And so let me just give you a couple of things that happened just bringing up to this. Those things have been in the works with God working, and there have been some pitfalls and some things that have come along. But about the time that my heart got in the place where I was completely out of commission for a little bit, Just shortly before that, Jonathan started really feeling the stress about having to minister to kids and the youth and minister to his kids and his wife and work this really difficult job. And he just came to the realization that he didn't have enough energy to do all those things. And he wasn't doing those things as well as he could. And so he made the choice to take a $40,000 pay cut. That's a lot of money. A $40,000 pay cut so that he would be freer and able to spend time with his family and to be able to work one-on-one and to work with some of the kids in our youth. My son's one of them he meets with on a regular basis. That shows you kind of commitment, and you know, God tells you to do things like that. The world doesn't say quit your job for these things. And so that commitment was already made. And about that time, God started working on Monica's heart, and she said, your parents are getting older, and we need to be there to help them. And so they decided to sell their home in Hickson. How many of you know sometimes it's good to have a little separation, right? But sometimes it's not. But they decided to sell their house and buy and move in with his parents' house, which is right down the road from Eastwood. Isn't that a coincidence? And build an area for their parents to live there as they're in their old age so they can take care of them. So now you got two factors. This happens, and all of a sudden we turn around, and what's happened with Jonathan? He's taken a $40,000 pay cut, and he's living close to the church. And he's wanted to be the youth pastor for 7 years. And God's been working on that, and we've been working on that for 7 years. Seems to me like we're moving in the right direction, right? And it wasn't one that we had to think about a lot. We brought it up with the youth pastor, with the youth leaders, and they were all in agreement that we are not going to get a person who loves this place and is willing to sacrifice for the people in this room like we're going to have with Jonathan. We know we got it with Jonathan. And so that's why we brought him on, so that we have someone who can full-time start working in the lives of our kids and start bringing, you know, what God wants in their lives out and supporting them. And so that's I really wanted to say those things because it's embarrassing for Jonathan to say them himself, about himself, so I'll say them for him. But I will give you just a second to tell us anything that you'd like to say, and then we're going to pray for you.
Yeah, sure. Plus, when he says it, it makes it so much more obvious. It's funny. I mean, that's the truth of it, though. He comes in and says, hey, we've been thinking about this. And I'm like, really, me? You know? I mean, and many of you guys that have known me for 21 years are like, really, him? But no, God.
That's not what we're thinking.
God is so good. I'm so thankful. I'm so excited. I'm nervous, as anyone would be, I would hope. And man, I'm honored. So thank you, God. Thank you, Eastwood, for this opportunity. One thing I do want to say is, man, it's going to be a great transition because the foundation is already there. If I know this, you guys hate to do this, but if you work in the youth right now on any aspect, go ahead and stand up. And there's several that aren't even in here, but those are the ones that are selflessly loving these kids, and they're getting to know them, not even just Wednesdays and Sundays, but most of these guys meet with these guys outside of here, and they're building that relationship, and that's the work that I'm going to come alongside and encourage that and be part of that, and it's just going to be a natural transition, I hope, and those are the ones, those are the real heroes right there, and what an honor it is, and I know that most of these guys personally, I know all these guys personally, and their heart is to serve and to love, and that's what's going to be the key factor in all this. So.
Well, I want to just say as we close for as we pray for him, that's exactly what the Bible tells us. You know, God gives the gift of ministry when you're talking about full time. It's a gift because he was doing it before. All these people are doing it before. What a gift it is to be able to do it all the time, to be freed of being encumbered about having to work 60, 70, 80 hours to make a living and then go do it. And God doesn't give that gift to everybody. Almost all the work is done by people who are working 50, 60, 70, 80 hours, and then they're having to find time to put God first in the relationships he calls them to. And so it's a great gift, and I know Jonathan is grateful and humbled by it, but the work is always done by you. There's no way the work's done without you. So let's just pray. Father, I just thank you so much for Jonathan, and I'm so grateful for him, and I'm so grateful for what you have done in his life. I am grateful for the way that you stay with us through every twist and turn of our life, because you see the potential you put in us when you created us. I'm thankful for the way his heart was yielded to you so that he could give himself to you and follow you and listen to you and allow you to change and make him, as he will continue to do, into the man you want him to be. I thank you for every person that his life is going to touch, and I pray that you'll open up ways for those contacts and those things that he will be able to do to bear real lasting fruit in their hearts in that connection with you. We're grateful, and we ask you to bless him and to bless this youth ministry, and really as he interacts with all of us, that you be the center of all that's happening, and we ask you and we thank you for all you've done. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, we are going to change just a little bit. Normally what we do at this time is we sing a response song, but what I am going to do is I am going to just pray for us, and we are gonna close this service and allow those of you that are not members that need to leave to go, and then we're going to have our business meeting so that we can honor your time a little bit. So I'm going to ask Sean to come on up here, and let me just pray. Father, we are grateful that you're alive and you're working in our lives, and we're thankful, Lord, that you're not just a God that's a thought or a theory, but you are an actual personal God that relates to each one of us, that loves us as an individual and as your church here at Eastwood. We thank you that you intervene and you put things in place in our lives to open and close doors, to lead us as individuals, but also as a church. And we thank you that we see ourselves becoming more like you and more able to carry your work on in this world. We ask you, Lord, to help us to be pleasing to you. We thank you for what you're doing, and we thank you for your love, and we're grateful. In Christ's name we pray, amen.